So hopefully you saw that Arnis is back with us this morning, doing well. I heard he's been out and about, actually mowing yards and all kinds of things that I'm sure his doctor told him is just fine to do. Jeff will be back in the pulpit next week, and then hopefully the week after that, Arnis will be back to it. So today, you get me, and we are going to talk a little bit about regret and making decisions that you can't undo, and then pining over the fact that you would like to. So, what if and what if not? That is the question. Not quite Shakespeare, but that's where we're going to go today. This will be a what if and what if not look at Peter walking on water, to sink or not to sink. Hopefully this will make sense as we go. Every Christmas season, seems like all the A Christmas Carol and It's a Wonderful Life movies start popping up again, right? They're playing in our homes. The plot is often that someone gets the benefit of looking into the past, present, and or future and seeing the events that shaped their exact lives as it is or will change things forever. If one detail is changed or some miraculous step isn't followed or taken or the path followed. Three of my favorites aren't really Christmas kind of movies, but they're still based on that same theme. They are, in no particular order, Mr. Destiny, Disney's The Kid, and Click. Now, how many of you have seen any of those? Anyone seen all three of them? Okay, all right, there's just a couple of us. So these are old movies, so spoiler alert, I'm going to tell you how some of them end. So, you know, you've had 3 decades on some of these movies to catch these things. So in Mr. Destiny, that's the one with James Belushi, he plays Larry Burroughs, and he's facing middle age and wondering how his life would have been different if he'd only hit that pitch in his Little League championship baseball game. Bases were loaded, 2 outs, they're down by 3, he strikes out. Now, he figures out a way with a magic potion from a fictitious bartender, gives him a drink that lets him go back in time and hit the baseball. And they win the game. And his life is completely different when he comes back from out of the bar. Now he's married to the boss's daughter, lives in this huge mansion, has 2 kids he's never seen, and is completely bummed with his new life that he thought he was going to like. Turns out that he gets back to his regular life. And in The Kid, it's kind of a little bit different. This one is if I'd only won that fight. Russ Duritz is played by Bruce Willis, very successful consultant. And in a twist for this kind of genre, his 8-year-old self, Rusty, comes to visit him and can't believe how bad his life turned out. No wife, we're not a pilot, and you don't have a dog? Together, they go back in time to a playground fight that they assumed ruined their lives because he was on the losing end of it. Ends up winning it, but it didn't fix anything. They had to do something else to figure that out. Future turns out just fine. And then in Click, if I just slowed down, Adam Sandler plays Michael Newman, an architect with more work than time. He's handed a remote control that can fast forward, rewind, pause, and completely skip real life events. And he goes to town using it. Turns out he wishes he had just lived a slower paced life instead of rushing through everything. Watch them if you haven't seen them. They're all supposed to make us appreciate the life we have and not just take it for granted. Naturally, they all have happy endings. But the getting there part is rough and sometimes very emotional. Just one event would have made life so much better if it had gone differently. I'd be willing to bet that I'm not alone in having those kinds of thoughts every now and then. Y'all have those thoughts, right? We think about those one things. Just the other day, I was talking to a really close friend of mine, and he told me he had only one huge regret in life. I was like, really? Just one? Good for you. Man, do I know the regret theme in my life. I have played the, if I could go back in time and fix one thing, or if I'd only done this instead of that, I played that game many times. Truly, I should probably go back to being 12 and start doing 50 sit-ups and push-ups every day for the rest of my life. That, don't laugh too hard. Some of y'all are in that same boat. Do I ever have some events or situations I'd certainly want to turn out differently? Yes. And I'm sure we all have a list. About 1.5 years ago, I started doing my daily Bible reading differently than I had ever done before. I chose the book of Matthew, and I decided I would read only as far as it took to trigger a thought or something deeper that I wanted to look more into, write about, or just something that grabbed my attention. I actually spent time in, I should have turned my texting off, David Grady. Lost my point. Yeah, all right, I actually spent hours just on chapter 1 in Matthew, and I liked it. Normally, when I'm reading Matthew, I just kind of flip to chapter 2, right? Because the genealogy is like, yeah, but it's kind of cool. But of all the stories in Matthew and probably the entire Bible, I believe my favorite one is still when Jesus walked on water, has been since childhood. That is where I got stuck for days. The story itself is from Matthew 14, and that chapter is full of events that, if taken just one at a time, they could be books all on their own. Jesus and the disciples had had a very long day. It began horribly for Jesus. He was notified that his cousin John the Baptist had been executed. And with that news, he just wanted to be alone to pray. So he went where he thought he could be alone. But his fame had spread everywhere. People were following him everywhere he went. So, being Jesus, he was feeling compassion on them, and he healed the sick, began to teach them. And before anyone had time to figure out what was going on, he had fed this huge crowd of people and ended up taking up more leftovers than they had to start with. Jesus had still been trying to get solitude all day, and I'd imagine by now he's completely exhausted and needed to pray. So the disciples left in a boat without him. Big storm hits the Sea of Galilee while they row across. They've likely been rowing for hours when the next event happens. So they're tired too. It's late at night, probably 4 in the morning or early in the morning. The guys think they see a ghost. No, Jesus has walked out to them on the water. He tells them everything's okay, and it's me. Then, exhausted Peter throws a strange dare out to exhausted Jesus. If it's you, then ask me to come to you on the water. Now, freeze for a second. All of us know what's about to happen in the Bible. All of us know, right? But you also know I like to use my imagination. I am a Bible daydreamer. Love trying to figure out what's up in Scripture. Love to put things in between the lines and figure out what life would have been like. So, what if this moment for Peter is that moment that, if given the chance, he would go back and change? What if this is that moment? Let's just say he found a way. Now, I know. Just hang with me through this. What if this is how the text reads? If it's you, then ask me to come to you on the water. Come on, Jesus said. Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water toward him. But when Peter saw how strong the wind was, he was even more determined to get to Jesus and shouted, I know I can do this, Lord. And when Peter reached him, Jesus said, you have so much faith. I'm so glad you didn't doubt. Then Jesus and Peter got back into the boat, and with a look from Peter toward Jesus and a return nod from Jesus, Peter commanded the sea to be calm, and the winds and storm ceased. Then the men in the boat worshiped them, saying, you guys really have the power of God. Peter didn't sink. If when Jesus told Peter to come to him, he just walked straight up to him and never went under, the whole story would have been different. Y'all okay still? Okay, all right, making sure. So I'm going to use my imagination for a little bit longer. Peter was known for being the most impetuous of the apostles, and I'm making a mental list, which includes slicing off an ear in the garden, telling Jesus to get away from him as he was unworthy, denying him 3 times, promising he would go to his death before he would do anything to turn on Jesus, and then, of course, this jumping out of the boat thing. Let's just say that Peter made this happen. They finish the trip across the sea. After Peter calmed the storm and he reaches the other side, the other 11 are stunned. Peter sort of proven the ultimate faith, right? Let's say he starts thinking, I've got this following Jesus thing down pretty good. And it starts going to his head a little bit. Could that have happened? Plausible. Maybe Peter starts moonlighting with miracles of his own, using the power of Jesus that had been given him earlier. Healing people, teaching people, feeding people, raising people. You see where this is going. At some point, after fully walking on water, Peter begins drawing his own crowds, and less people are seeing Jesus than would have. Jesus notices Peter's ego growing, and though he does a he's doing good things because of Jesus, he kind of leaves the fold and goes out on his own. And then Jesus has to tell Judas, from now on, I will call you Peter, the rock. Judas betrays Jesus, hangs himself, and never stands up to preach on Pentecost, where 3,000 people were supposed to be baptized into the church and begin a movement that would turn the world upside down. All right, heresy over, done, but back to Peter. Peter did ask Jesus to command him to come on the water. Peter did get out of the boat. Peter did walk on water. Peter did look around at the waves and got scared. Peter did sink and cry out for Jesus to save him. It's not even close that the best description of this event I've ever seen is from the TV series The Chosen, Season 3, Episode 8. It's the finale of that season. I've watched this scene so many times, I've got it memorized. Every single time, I got tears in my eyes on this one. If you're a fan of the show, you know that this event has been built up through that season for Peter and Jesus and Peter's wife in the show. And it was a scene of reconciliation as much as it was faith. Might be the most moving 5 minutes of anything I've ever watched. It was the moment Peter fully committed to Jesus. As a side note, Dallas Jenkins, The Chosen's creator, often explains his creative takes on Scripture by asking, is it plausible? And I love that. I love to imagine what the life was like, the discussions between Jesus and his followers, the kidding around, the arguments, the inside jokes. I mean, we're talking 12 guys. You know there's stuff like that happening. So I've thought a lot in the last few years about the journey many of us are on. Some of us have been through or are going through those tough spots where God is doing something mysterious in our lives. We just have to roll with it. I've heard these times referred to as my desert, like a dark cave, or the wilderness. Those words capture it, but I can't help but imagine Lieutenant Dan on the top of that staff on that rocky boat in Forrest Gump screaming at God, and then as I picture Jesus bidding Peter to come to him with the storm all around, I think for me, my best description of where I have been sometimes is lost at sea in a storm. And I've just spent time bobbing up and down and searching for a shoreline while riding each wave. But can't do it. It's no less desolate than a desert or wilderness, but it's different. No water I can drink, and sometimes I've felt dizzy from the chaotic movement. I don't like it. I don't understand it. I didn't ask for it. I don't want to go through it. And I pray to be saved from it, and have been to some extent. So as I read this incredible text, I imagine myself getting out of the boat, trying to walk on water, and I can most definitely hear my own voice crying out, Lord, save me, as I sink below the surface. And I watch a strong hand reach down into the sea and pull me up to safety. And I imagine him looking straight into my eyes and saying, trust me. And I whisper back, I trust you. To be real, I needed Peter to sink. I needed the story to go like it did. Peter would go on to lead the church. He would truly become the original The Rock. Sorry, Dwayne. Peter would most assuredly become the most well-known follower of Jesus to the Hebrew nation, using the miraculous abilities Jesus gave him to honor God and preach the word and spread his good news. I have to know that when I also plunge beneath the surface, that it's not the end, but it's only a kind of spiritual baptism, that Jesus himself reaches down and pulls me back out, and I can be sanctified now and set apart for him. Part of the dialogue in that scene from The Chosen stays in my mind a lot because it's Peter asking Jesus, why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why am I going through? And Jesus' reply to these questions is, it's to make you stronger. I cannot help but wonder what Jesus will do with the lives of those he has saved from the deserts, the wildernesses, the caves, or the stormy seas. He's making us stronger? He's making us stronger. I know that for me, coming back up from that water is life-changing, and I believe a new fire can start and has started in my very core. The best is yet to come once we emerge, and like fire refines precious metals, we are being made into something better. More precious, stronger. In one of my favorite books called Deeper Experiences of Famous Christians, written by James Gilchrist Lawson, he puts it this way. Those who are only to be silver vessels in the house of God may only have to go through the melting pot of affliction to be refined. But those who are to be golden vessels in the house of God often have to go through the furnace fire of affliction. Melting pot versus furnace fire. Neither one of them sound great, but melting pot seems a little easier than furnace fire. Don't you want to be gold for God's house? When those thoughts of regret and changing something in the past captivate your mind, think gold, not silver. If you've been through or are going through the storms, it's likely because you're in that furnace of affliction and not just a melting pot. You're being refined into a golden vessel, looking ahead and not living in the past. I love how Paul puts it in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and 14. I have not yet reached my goal, and I am not perfect, but Christ has taken hold of me, so I keep on running and struggling to take hold of the prize. My friends, I don't feel I've already arrived, but I forget what's behind, and I struggle for what is ahead. I run toward the goal so I can win the prize of being called to heaven. This is the prize God offers because of what Christ Jesus has done. So, leave the past where it belongs and press on. The prize of being called to heaven sounds really nice to me. In fact, I kind of live in a constant state of any day now, Lord. You can come back and I'm ready. I can't wait. What if Peter hadn't sunk? No thanks. He had to sink for his sake and mine and yours. Truth is, I don't think I would go back and change anything in my life or yours. Let's pray together, and then we'll sing a couple songs and be dismissed.